Lord this morning. Amen. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles. We're going to Psalms 27. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you. I want to ask that you remember the Williams family this morning, the way where he's been sick for the last day or so. Before that, little Griffin was sick, so just remember them this morning. They're at home. Let's pray that the healing hand of the Lord will touch them. Mm-hmm. Psalms chapter 27. You know, this is rapture text that Brother Brennan used, and as time goes on, the more this little passage of scriptures becomes more real to us. You know, I guess if the Lord, or if someone else would have said to us, just, hey, you know, what scripture would you pick out of the whole Bible to use for a rapture text? I doubt that any of us would have chosen this, but right. As time goes on, we're seeing just how real it is and how pertinent it is. And so we just want to read this portion, and then we'll read again in 1 Corinthians 13 like we did last week. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Lo and host should encamp against me. My heart shall not fear, though war shall rise against me. In this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. And you can say amen.
Amen.
And then 1 Corinthians 13. Many feel blessed this morning.
Amen.
I mean, he's had a battle this week.
Amen.
But still blessed, still fighting. Amen. That's what it's all about. Thank the Lord for him being our helper.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not charity, I have become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffereth long, is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail, whether there be tongues, they shall cease, whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now about it, faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. Let's just pray for a moment. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we just have a thankfulness in our hearts for all the things that you've done in our lives. Lord, for each one of us and how that you've brought us all together under such a wonderful message. We pray, God, this morning that you just have your way in this service, Lord, that you give each one of us strength, Lord, inspiration, ability to receive. We ask, God, that you just move every spirit that would hinder out of the way. And not only those here this morning, but those that are streaming from home, those who will be listening at a later date. We ask, God, for the same blessings upon them, that your Holy Spirit would move upon every heart. Because we know, Lord, that it takes your Spirit to quicken your word. How wonderful your word is, but the dynamics has to come upon that word to seal it away into our hearts. We do ask, God, that you would do these things. And, Lord, we ask that you would remember the Williams family, Little Waverly, Lord, that you would just touch them this morning, Lord. Make them well. God, may they be able to receive from you as they sit at home and stream. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to continue on with last week's thought, last week's title, When That Which Is Perfect Has Come. Today I'm just going to put a little subtitle on it, Where Pentecost Failed. Where Pentecost Failed. Amen. And kind of before I get started on this, I just want to remind everyone about the placing of sons. We're very familiar on that, but I want to kind of get that as a seed in your mind this morning as we go. Because I'll read some quotes in a little while that Brother Branham refers to that. And so the placing of sons, where the son is a son, but he is under tutorship and gets to the place where he can be about the father's business, and then the father would place him and give him the ability then to write checks under the father's name.
Right.
Amen. And so a reading there in Psalms chapter 27, you pray for me this morning. I'm short-winded for some reason this morning. I've had some really rough days. And by stripes, I'm healed.
Right.
And we know that we fight battles in this life. But in Psalms chapter 27, the scripture that I really wanted us to think about this morning is that there should be an expectation of something that we have in the bride. And there when he said, there's one thing that I'm seeking after, right? Or there's one thing that I desire, and that's the thing I'm going to seek after. Because, you know, people seek after the things they want.
Right.
Right? So it all goes back to what's in the desire of the heart. If someone has a desire in their heart for something, they're going to figure out a way to get it.
Right.
Right? And so, you know, we can sit around, people can say whatever and all this and that, but listen, if you have a desire for God in your heart, you will find a way to find Him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so that's for all of us. We know that. You see that in people's lives. You see someone and they may be 1,000 miles away from getting something they want, but they will work, and at some point they'll figure out how to do it. And, you know, that speaks, that's a positive thing in the fact that people can do that, but that has to be applied properly, right, to the things of God. And so people will seek after the things they desire, but Christians should be seeking after the thing they desire. And so what is it that they desire? They should be desiring the things of the Lord. And so, but we have to be careful what it is we're seeking after, because if our ideas of what God is something totally wrong, we'll be seeking after the wrong thing.
Right.
Right? And so we know that. And so we must be seeking after that which is right, the right, who God really is, because there's so many imitations, so many impersonations out there. We want to find God,
right,
not some halfway something. We want God. And so so that what comes with Him is the real package, the real thing, the real attributes, not something that's halfway. We want the real thing. And I say that because I believe here we are in this hour. We are in the hour where God wants us to have the full course.
Yeah.
Right? And so, but we've got to know that. We've got to know what He is and to know what would constitute what He really is. And so that should be the thing that we would want,
right,
that we would seek after. And if we have a desire for that, then we will be seeking after that. And if we're desiring and seeking, He said, if you knock, it'll be open. Seek, you will find, right? Right? And so he's not the holdup. He's not the holdup at all. It'd be on us, right? Each as individuals and so forth. And so, but when we seek Him, then when we find how He wants to manifest through our lives, then we have to be willing to let Him manifest through us the way He desires it.
Right.
Not necessarily the way we would want it, but the way He would want it. Mm-hmm. And I'll say this, this is a very strong statement, but rarely is the will of God in your life what you set out to think it is.
Right.
And what you want it to be. I don't know if I've ever witnessed that. We We always set out and say, well, this is where I think I'll be in life. And you're not where you thought you were going to be when you first set out. And so when you think of it like that, you know, those of us that have been many miles, we can look back and see, yeah, that's exactly the way it was. But if you're a young person, you don't know that yet. And so we can now say, man, if I would have known this now, what I known back then, what I know now, I would have known back then to give it all to God. Just empty myself completely out and just give it all to Him right there.
Yeah.
Because how much quicker and how much fear of heartaches we would have had if we would have done that. Mm-hmm. But we didn't. And so we must be willing that when we find Him and when we break through that veil into His presence and He bestows upon us how He wants to manifest and live through us as individuals or us through our church or wherever, then we must be willing to accept that and put away our desires and our ideas about those things. And so, just as a springboard this morning on what I want to share with you, you know, when the seals was open, those seals were open for a reason to, basically, they show who's redeemed. Because it's the names written underneath, right? They show who's redeemed, but also show how they were redeemed. Where through this entire plan of redemption, whether it was under Noah or Moses or what church age, wherever, you know, the whole plan is a plan of redemption. And God redeems people out of all the different ages, different ways or whatever, all under the blood. But He redeems them and so the seals come along and opened that up and showed us how each of those, what message they had and how they were redeemed. And because of that, then we know who we are. We can understand where we fit in that plan of redemption and where we come to that, what God has for us in the day that we live. So we know that because of the opening of the seals that we know these things. And so because of that, we now know there were seven church ages. You know, outside of the message, you don't hear that. They don't talk about seven ages, seven messengers. I've never heard it anywhere else in any other denominational sermon before I came to the message or even anything I've tuned into just to see what's going on. I've never heard anybody say anything like it. But now we know there were seven ages. Now we know God's plan was unfolding. He has a specific set of sequence He's going through. Not just floating along or whatever happens. We know there's seven ages, seven churches.
Yep.
And because there were seven churches, we know now that there were actually seven angel messengers.
Yep.
And because there were seven angel messengers, not just scriptures that they look at, yeah, Revelation, it's just, you know, that's you know, don't go there because it's crazy. You've heard them say that. But now we know that there were seven church ages, seven messengers, which means there were seven messages.
Right.
We know that now. And so we are privileged to know who that seventh messenger. We're privileged to know what all of them were.
Right.
But we're definitely privileged to know what the seventh one is. And we're privileged to know that and to see that this ministry was in the Bible. It's scripture that's jumped out of the pages of the Bible and is now living before us today. We're privileged to know that. To know that there's a message and a messenger. And remember, the messenger comes at the end of the age. Right? So at the end of the time of the Catholic dispensation, God brought Luther. And Luther's job was to address the issues that was there. And of course, he didn't in fullness. But he addressed it. And his message was the just shall live by faith.
Right?
He was there to correct things that were wrong. And so God began to correct, and He said, hey, the just shall live by faith, not by all this nonsense that they teach you in the Catholic Church about suffering and all that. You're justified by faith. Mm-hmm. So He came. Well, and then when Luther's people organized, God, in, you know, that things, there was more correction that had to come. So God raised up Wesley with sanctification. And basically, Wesley saying, yes, justification is right. You are justified by faith, but you can't live just anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a sanctified life. You have to clean up.
Right?
There was more to be added to that. Well, so when Wesley's group denominated and Pentecost come along, the Azusa Street, God was saying, yes, you are justified by faith. And yes, you do have to live a clean life, But you've also got to receive the Holy Ghost. You've also have to have the Spirit indwelling in you. It's God is adding back each time more truth, and more truth.
Right.
And so we know that these messengers came at the end of those cycles. And so at the end of Pentecostal age, we'll say at the end, I'll clarify that in just a moment, God raised up Brother Branham with a message to correct what was wrong, still what was left wrong in the church, and to correct where Pentecost had failed.
Right.
And so, you know, Pentecostal outpouring was 1906, and within 3 years they had organized in 1909, mm-hmm. and Brother Ram was born in 1909 because that was God's answer.
Right.
And so he raised up the message to bring these things, bring correction to Pentecost and to address those things. And so the message came to tell us what was wrong. That the message came and began to speak in 1947, pretty much. We could say 1933, but we don't have any recordings of that. So from 1947 on, that message was speaking to us. Not just a minister, but God was saying, I'm picking up this topic here. The purpose of being here is to bring correction and correct what's wrong.
Right.
And though all those things was right and added, but to correct where they went wrong in denominating, but also to finish tying up all the loose ends. So that's what God was doing when he began to speak the message. He's speaking correction.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Began doing that around 1947 and made sure that it was on recording so we could have it. First thing that you hear Brother Ram saying is we've got some gadgets to record with now. And God raised that up and had that happen just for that purpose.
Right.
What if God would have raised him up back in 1800? We wouldn't have these messages.
Right.
All you'd have is just maybe written form of it.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have the ability for it to be propagated around the world like we do. We wouldn't have the ability to have it every day, everywhere you go.
Yeah.
I can listen to it on my phone. I can listen to it at home. I can listen to it at work. Everywhere, you see? So God knew what he was doing. He raised up the message right at the right time. But that message is bringing correction. And so God began through that message and that voice. He began to address these things and began to reveal these truths and restore back these truths. And while God was doing these things, he was vindicating them. So Brother Brown wouldn't just stand up and say, well, you know, thus and that. No. He would give these things out, and then something would happen, whether it in the ministry or in service or whatever, that would absolutely, where God would prove that what that man just said was right.
Right.
Follow me? Mm-hmm. He would prove that it was right. And so, you know, I'm going to be reading some quotes out of where Brother Ram preached a sermon, where I think Pentecost failed. And if you look at it, he preached that in December... of 1955. Because remember, 1906, 50 years later, 1956, and right at the tail end of 55, right in the inner end, a 50-year jubilee,
right.
Here's a prophet that God has raised up, and by that time in his ministry, God had already vindicated so much to show the world, you better listen to this guy.
Right.
And then he begins to preach, and he says, where I think Pentecost failed. Follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So this is how God was unfolding these things. And when God did these things, he basically, especially the opening of the seals and all these things, what God did there is God silenced every voice across the whole planet in his courtroom. Oh, there's plenty of voices.
Yeah.
But in God's grief, he's drawn a courtroom before this generation. Because
right.
If you remember, look what God used Elijah for judgment upon Ahab and Jezebel and even in Malachi, God has brought a courtroom of judgment to them and says, you've robbed God and you've done this and you've done that. And so you understand. And so John the Baptist come along and he had to hammer out against you. You shouldn't have your brother's wife and so forth. So you see, God uses the spirit of Elijah in judgment.
Right.
And so he has a great courtroom that he has set in this day. Because remember the sermons, a trial,
mm-hmm.
Right? God mourns a man and then pardon and all the different things, because this is what's going on. God was judging this Pentecostal generation. And so doing it by one man, God, brothers and sisters, all God's got to do is get one man truly in his hand. And by that one man, he can do the whole thing. By one man, sin, right, came into the earth. By one man, Jesus Christ bought our redemption. By one man, surrender to God, he can bring an entire judgment to an entire world, a generation, because it's God doing it. And so he basically, when all these things were being vindicated and done like that, because there was a ministry in the land that God was showing so much through, so much of the presence of God in it, it became the judge of the whole generation and the whole thing. Silenced every other voice that would try to speak up and say, "But Your Honor," they're put down because of the vindication that was there. And so Pentecost, if they would stop and look and say, "You know what? We better listen to this man, because he's had more vindication than all of us put together."
Right?
Right? You see what God was doing? So God's not going to say, "Well, some little guy raised up over here in some place, and he's prophesied, maybe gets it right one time or something like that, and then they think the whole world should listen to him." Yeah. God established this ministry worldwide so people would know, now you better listen to him. So now let's listen to him. Let's listen to what he said. And so, Brother Man, as from last week when he said, we'll read the quote here in just a moment as I get to it here to find it. When it said, "When that which is perfect is come," let me read it. Read a little bit more than I did last week. Brother Branham is saying, this is in Question and Answers in 1964. He said, "Now what if Jesus would have come and said, 'Now as Moses came talking to you in Egypt, I've come to take you somewhere else.' Now what if he said, 'Let's go work and build an ark. I'm the Lord and I'm going to float the world away now. I'm going to drown the world and all of them.' See, the scripture never said it'd come like that. See, he wouldn't have been the Messiah. No matter how many arts he built or whatever he'd done, he'd not have qualified the Messiah." So you see what he's saying there. There is a message for a day, and there is a manifestation for that. And if Jesus would have come some other way with a different message for a different day, he would not have been the Messiah. But because it was the message, and he was acting it out, and it was being vindicated, then there's your qualifications. There, now listen to it. See? And so, there was the qualification of being Messiah. Brother says, "Hallelujah, there you are, it's qualification." Yes, sir. And now we pick up where we read last week. 1 Corinthians 13 says, "When that which is perfect is come, that which is in part should be done away with." So all these little things like jumping up and down like a kid and trying to talk in tongues and all these things, when that which is perfect, and we do have today, by God's help, the perfect interpretation of the word with divine vindication, then that which is part is done away. "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." Amen. So, Brother M's telling us here, when he's saying this, there is a qualification for a word for the hour that shows that it's right. And this is where he picks this up when he's talking about, hey, when that which is perfect is come, there'll be a vindication to show that it's, and that'll be its qualification to show where you've come. Right? And so he says, in quoting that there, "When that which is perfect, and by God's grace we do have," it doesn't matter what we think, but the man that God had established as a voice to judge this generation, when he comes to that and he's asked that question about that which is perfect, he says, "By the grace of God, we do have the perfect word with divine perfect interpretation of the word, with divine vindication. He put that in there. Because, see, you've got to have that.
Right.
You have to have that to qualify this. So, yes, this is it.
Right.
So, in Brother Branham's mind, in his thinking, under that ministry that he had, we had arrived at the thing that Paul was talking about. In the place where we're not going to be in part. We're going to know clearly. We're going to know who we are. And we're not going to be operating in part, these things in part. And so he's speaking of a time when the manifestation of God in his church is going to be absolutely dead on accurate every time. And not any of this other stuff. And more to it than that. It's speaking of the entire character of Christ in his church. So Jesus came with the correct message. And that was showing that the qualification, that it was right, and it was right on time. So, then we realize as the bride that this is what we must come to. It's been shown, it's been vindicated. We must come to that which is perfect, which I said later, it's none other than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in fullness. When they too become one, right? Not as one. But one where she is him, as the prophet said. That Christ has come. You know, I used to say, it's been a long time, but something happened when those seals opened. There's something here now that wasn't here before. Mm-hmm. Right? And so we might have had Luther, a part of Christ. Wesley, Pentecost, all parts of Christ. But now we have the fullness of the person, of the word here to marry.
Yeah.
To unite with. And by uniting with them, we become one with him, and now she becomes him.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't find him somewhere else. That's where he is. Because she is that, she's that body. He's in. And so we know that she has to come to this which is perfect. And in order to get the results that Jesus had, we've got to come to that.
Right?
Right? Now, I'm saying all these because I want to make sure that we understand what we should be seeking for. And brother, sister, if there was an hour we need to be seeking, right now is that hour.
Yeah.
Right? Because as Brother Daniel said, time. This thing's running out. We don't know. We're not, you know, in ourselves, we're not God. We don't know. We believe our loved ones will come in, right? But time is ticking, and there is a moment where eternity sets in and these opportunities are over with.
Right.
And we know that. And so we want to come to that, be seeking the right thing, and so come to that which is right, that which is perfect. And then so there is where you get the results. Did Jesus fail? Can somebody say something where he failed in some way? Even in one little thing, did he fail in any one little? No, it was his discernment ever wrong? No, it was always right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, you know, I think a lot of times people think, well, you know, Brother Branham had that kind of ministry because he was a prophet.
Yeah.
But let's look at this. Elijah and Elisha.
Right?
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Who said that the bride of Christ is not going to come to a place where God moves in her such a way that everything he does in her midst is accurate and without any fault?
Right?
Yeah.
Right? We're imperfect people, but his plan of redemption is perfect. And if his plan says that he has cleaned us and brought us to such a place where he says we're equal with Christ, and he comes in and moves through us, what will hinder him from doing everything perfect just like he did in his own ministry?
Yeah.
We've got to look for that. I don't want something that falls short. I want something that's absolutely him, whether it's got any kind of glory to it or just something humble. I just want it to be him.
Amen.
But not anything less. Right? And we've seen what less does.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying there is this, there should be a desire and a hunger. There should be something beginning to work in us where we've seen these things. And we've saw the years and the things, how Satan has tried to get in and done things in the message and all the other churches. And there ought to be building up this desire in us to say, God, I'm tired of that which is plain part. I want that which is perfect, which the word has been spoken, that's already been spoken, that it's coming. And it takes the anointing of the Spirit of God to quicken that. But that's the thing we should be longing for.
Right.
And seeking after that. Not trying to push off into something, but to wait on God and say, God, you quicken this thing, and it is dynamically you 100%. There won't be no failures. That's why when they said, Brother Graham said, these prophecies have to be absolutely something, thus saith the Lord, not just vain repetitions and so forth, which is what mostly you see in Pentecost. You see mostly that. But he says, it's got to be something accurate, brother so-and-so, such-and-such, you know, whatever, and it has to come to pass. And if it doesn't, then get that, you know, pray, that person go to the altar and pray and get that spirit off them, because it's not God. Right. And he said, well, Brother Brown, you put us on the spot. He said, I ain't on the spot, but I'm out there, and I'm in foreign nations, and I don't know, and I've never met these people, but I have confidence in the promise of God, and that's where I'm trying to go to with this little portion is, to have confidence in the promise of God that he has a bride. She is him.
Right.
That if it's him, you don't have to worry about a mistake. If it's him, say, well, but it was a mistake. Okay, it wasn't him. So now let's seek God until it is him.
Right.
Till it's no longer us. Because brother, sister, if we've already got to that place where it was no longer us, then where are we?
Right.
See? Because I believe we will come to that place where it's no longer us, it's all him, and that dynamics sets this thing off. How long it'll be, I don't know. How far will it manifest? I don't know. It's not up to us. But we believe that promise is there.
Okay.
That God will give us the promise that he said he would. We just want to seek after that, seeking the right thing. So that's what we have to look for. And when that time comes, then it means when that which is perfect has come, that means we're no longer children.
Right.
We put away childish things.
Right.
You know, one thing I noticed, you know, like when you go from a child and then you have adults and you have teenagers. Teenagers begin to fill out, become more physically in hormones and all that sort of thing like an adult. But they don't have the character. They don't have. And so now they want all this power and control and want to go all be able to do all these things, and they don't have the throttle back. That, you know, they, and so I guess it could be that way spiritually, right? That God wants us to become full adults and no longer children. Then we go through this period of time where we want the power. Come on, let me have the keys to the car. You're not ready for it. Right? But then we transition, but at some point, if everything goes right, then that maturity level is there. Then now they are self-regulated adults, and you can trust them, and they go. You understand? So, but that means that we come to this which is perfect, means no longer being a child, put away childish things. And Brother Brent said, that's this day. So if, as I said last week, if that which is perfect has come, why would we want to go back to something in part? Right? What is it that makes someone an adult? It's not just filling out physically. I've got the physical ability. We may have a big church with all the finances and all the fill out of physical that's there. But if you don't have the spiritual thing back there behind it, then what are you going to do with that? As children trying to become, and so, I said, why would we revert back to something, like I said last week, why would you revert back to something that's in part when you realize that which is in part hasn't met the challenge yet?
Right.
Right? Not saying that God hasn't done some things back there throughout these ages. Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. But we live in a different age.
Right.
And we live in an age where it's be that which is perfect. Him, the person, has come. And so the only thing is if you're like here, even if you filled out and you're, you know, you're tall and your voice has changed and now you're deep, but if you're still wanting to act some of the childish ways, you're not grown up yet.
Right.
Right? And it's the same way with the church. So why, when it comes to the time where God is saying, now my manifestation in your midst can be absolutely perfect. But there's a price that goes with that. See, to become an adult, you have to be willing. I forget many ways I've said it in the past, but to be an adult, you know, you
Like if you want to be married, you've got to be willing to be responsible for yourself and for the one you marry and for the children that come along. See? So an adult is not just filling out being able to have the deep voice and physically can do, but it is being able to step up to the plate and take the bad with the good. Take the sorrows with the good times. Because, you know, marriage, a lot of glorious time, but there's a lot of hard things that goes with it to make it good.
Right?
Right? And this gospel is the same way. It takes the pain, sorrow, and suffering to have the glories of God. And so Pentecost come on, and they want the good things, but they didn't want to pay the price. They want to take what to actually become those adults. So they find themselves, and all they just want to do is have the good stuff.
Right. Yeah.
And that's the way kids are. Kids, oh, I just want to, no, I don't want to do chores. I just want to play and do this and do that. No, you got to learn to do the chores too.
Right.
And so you see, this is what was going on there. And the only reason why someone would want to revert back to those things is probably because they're still a child, spiritually speaking. Always wanting to have the things that feel good and don't want the bitterness that goes with it. As, you know, as it said to John, eat the book, it's sweet, but then it has become bitter. And then when that bitterness in your belly, you digest it, and then you go prophesy. Then you go on the strength of that to the world. People don't want that dying out that it takes. So Brother Ram came to correct Pentecost. He came, you know, Pentecost of 1906 was just the restoration of the gifts. That's what it was, restoration of the gifts. We look at, oh, so that's the Holy Ghost. But now, you know, we can look back in Luther's day and we say, oh, that's God. Look at Luther. Look at this man. That's God. He was God. But now when we look back on it now, we can say, you know what? Though in that day, that was God. But now we look at it and say it was just a carrier. Just a carrier of the seed that was coming.
Right.
Same way with Wesley. Same way with Pentecost. In their day, that was God. But that was only in that limited form. But we're not talking about limited form anymore. We're talking about the person of Jesus Christ coming down and fully tabernacling himself incarnate in his people.
Right.
In the fullness.
Right.
That's what we're talking about. And so, Brother Ram came to set in order those things, to set those gifts in order and the manifestation of them. And did you know that Brother Ram had a split in his own church because of that? Because in his own church, Brother Ram said, okay, now that we're starting to get these gifts, now we're gonna tighten it up and make require them to be accurate and require it to be, and if it's not right, then to... Because Pentecost, anybody can just say and do anything, and there's nobody holding them accountable. And so when Brother Bam did that, he said, no, we're going to have to, you know, and then a bunch of them left and went to Junior Jackson's church. Because Junior Jackson was okay with people speaking in tongues on the floor and all the things that you see. And so Brother Bam, a lot of people left. And then some of the people in his church criticized, said, you're going over where them dead birds are. And Brother Bam rebuked him and said, don't you do that. I mean, Jose, remember hearing that? See? So Brother Branham began to correct the childishness of Pentecost, that they began to receive some gifts and begin to fill out, look like they could do some things in the name of God, but they were still childish with it. And so he was going to correct that. Because why? That's where we're going. That's where we're coming to. He had it in his ministry. And so I said a while ago, he was qualified to do it because he had such a vindication of God's presence in his own ministry that Pentecost had to listen to him. And so the entire age had to hear this. God will judge this generation by this that I'm talking about. Brother Ram came to let us know, as it said in Ephesians, that he put the fivefold ministry in the church and for the perfecting until we grow up into the fullness of Christ. And so Brother Ram had to come along and say the same thing to let us know that we are growing up into Christ. And then when she is him, then she'll have the same spirit he did. And she'll do the same things he did. And he didn't fail and neither will she. Right? When that which is perfect is come, and is resident in his body completely, you won't see nonsense.
Right.
And that's what we should look for.
Okay.
We don't want just a good time. That's fine. Those are, but we want the real thing, because we realize in looking at it, that's the only thing left we've got to defeat the enemy that's before us. That's the only thing left that can go out there in this age where everything is so buttoned down under Satan's leading. There's one thing that'll work. And we've got to come to the realization that there's no sense in us desiring anything less than that, because it's not going to work. We've got to be convinced and concerned and say, God, there's one thing we need. And that's you. Perfectly. You. 100%. She'll be him, and she'll have the same spirit, do the same thing he did. But for the bride to do the same thing he did, that means she can't be in part anymore. She has to be in full. She is the masterpiece of God, one that is fitting for him, one that matches, one that's right. You know, it breaks my heart when sometimes I see some young man and he's, you know, maybe not very handsome or whatever. And I know love can do whatever, and I see him interested in a young lady that obviously is in a different class than him. And I know God can make it work, but typically it doesn't. You know, it's like, you understand? And I say this even out in the world before coming to Christianity. You see this. It's like, dude, it's not going to work. You know, but, and so, but there is a class, a lady that'll match Christ. That's what I'm talking about. She's fitting. She's got that lady, that character and everything that matches him. And that's why she's his choice. That's what I'm talking about. And so she's a masterpiece, the one that's fitting for him. And so Brother Branham had to tell Pentecost where they failed. And well, he said, first of all, they organized. But then, as I said last week, you know, they took tongues as evidence of the Holy Ghost instead of the birth of the Word. You know, back in 55, when he's talking about this, he didn't have the revelation of the things that he did further on to address it the way he was. But he was addressing it, but he wasn't. And so later on, in the latter part of his ministry, then he said, Pentecost was Mary, and Mary was not the seed. He couldn't say that back then because it wasn't revealed, but what he was saying was exactly in unity with that. And so later on he addresses even more clearly and says, look, Mary was Pentecost, and Mary was not the seed, and Pentecost was not the seed. It was just the gifts. It was just a carrier. That's what he was saying. She's just a carrier. I'm not talking about the fanaticism of Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost. That's not even in the picture. We're talking about there was a real move of God of Luther, Wesley, Pentecost,
right,
that were carriers.
Right.
The reason why they were carriers, even though it was Christ doing it, is because they weren't the fullness of Christ. They were just carriers bringing this message to us so we can now have the fullness.
Right.
So that's why we would call them carriers. They were real moves of God.
Sure.
And they have their place. So Pentecost failed. Brother Bam addressed. There's so many things that he talked about in there, and I won't be able to cover them all. But he said, you know, they did the rest. They built like the rest. They built up walls. When they denominated, they built up their walls, and they tried to make everybody Pentecostal. They come up to the place like, you know what? If you're not Pentecostal, you're not even in there. And what in their mind? Hey, unless you tongues evidence, unless you speak in tongues, you don't have it. And they want the whole world to become Pentecostal, and they divided themselves. And Brother Graham said this, and when he was preaching this, he said, the only difference I found between the Baptist group that I was with and Pentecost was when I came to it was tongues evidence. That's the only thing I'd see different. He said, because the real Baptists that I came from, he said, we'd get down to the altar and beat one another on the back until we got through. But he come over to Pentecost, said they didn't have anything more than that except they were preaching tongues was evidence. And so the whole point of saying that is that we people put up barriers and say, well, you got to be part of this or part of that. And Brother Brown says, the Holy Ghost, you know, how many has heard him say that there's Christians in all those churches out there?
Sure.
Right? Because they're Christians if they've got an experience with God. And we know, you know, like, well, then if they have an experience, then wouldn't they come out and come be Pentecost? Well, if God led them that direction, right? So we would expect in this hour that the Holy Spirit in the lives of people, wherever they are, would lead them to truth. Not to churches, not to denominations, but to truth. Brother Ben said, I have never seen a time where the Holy Spirit would come on the platform and there were people coming up in line. He said, not one time did the Holy Spirit ever challenge someone and say, you're going to the wrong church. Because it doesn't matter. What matters is that you have the life of Christ in you. And we know in this hour that would lead you and guide you. But if God don't show you something, you can't come.
Right?
Who are we to judge another man's servant? See, there is all kinds of, you know, church people, only people saved, foolish virgins, whatever. But the bride is elect. She's a different group. And not everybody will be bride. Right? We know that. Not everybody will. She just want to make everybody speak in tongues, make them all Pentecostal. Brother Ben said, Pentecost chose the gifts instead of the giver. Where I think Pentecost failed. Brother Bram, you know, when everything's working right, God will do the speaking, right? So Brother Bram says, you don't have to talk so much about it. God does his own talking. God testifies of his gifts. But all those gifts are wonderful. They're dandy, and we love them all. God grant that every one of us would have every gift. But I'd rather have the giver than the gifts, Paul said, though I could have all gifts without the giver. And he said, now if we had have went, sometimes he says things hard to say. If we had have went to seeking the giver instead of the gifts, I believe the church would be further up the road. Don't you think so? This is what he's telling them. Remember, he's correcting Pentecost. Because they went after the gifts rather than the giver. Remember last week I said there's only so much of the character nature of the one who gives the gift that can actually be represented in the gift, because the gift is not the person, it's just a gift. Right? But when this come along, when he comes, justification, sanctification, now he's gonna come.
Right.
Pentecost jumped the gun, and when they begin to move that, instead of waiting on God, they begin to push something, and they begin to manifest something, and they cut him off to where he can't come like he wanted, like that. And so now he had to have another message come along. We know it was all his plan.
Right.
Come along and to bring this truth out. And so he said, we would have been further down the road, don't you think? If we'd stay close to God, and this is where we can listen, if we'd stay close to God and love him and just keep living for him and not trying to push things over, just live for God, live a pure, holy life, and live and pray every day and keep yourself refreshed in his presence. Wow, that's a good one. That's an important one.
Right.
Just keep yourself refreshed in his presence. God will take care of the rest of it. He will adopt the people into his own beloved body, the church. And then when the rapture comes, you'll be found without blemish because you're living in the presence of the King. But notice he said there, just live for God and not try to push things over. And so this is what he said. It goes on. Pentecost, instead of waiting on God, they tried to push into something. And they pushed off into something that was fanaticism that God couldn't work through. Right? Okay. By doing so, by them picking the gift or the manifestation or tongues evidence, by picking that instead of the person, they pick something that Satan can imitate. How many times did Brother Brim say, I've heard devils speak in tongues and even prophesy and get things right? And so They chose something and pushed off into something because you can't push God and make him move ahead of his plan. And so they pushed and they made something, an evidence. Instead of it being the birth of the word, they picked the evidence of being tongues being evidence. And so Satan can impersonate that. And so now if you're telling everybody, oh yeah, if you speak in tongues, you got it. How many times Brother Brent said, you know what? The messenger said, if you shouted, you got it. But they found out a lot of them didn't have it. And there's a lot of them that when they speak in tongues, they had it. But when you say that's evidence, now the devil could jump in there. You got the whole world thinking they got something when it, because they're seeking the gift or the manifest, rather than the giver.
Right.
You have the giver, and then you've got all the gifts.
Yeah.
Get him first. Right? And so, they pick something that Satan can manifest and impersonate. But only the word can be the word. And then if it is the word, then it's the living word. And if it's living word, it's living in his people. Because it is living word, right? Mm-hmm. I have to be honest to you that the church right out here by the overpass coming from my house, the living word church, and I'm like, that doesn't belong because I know the guy there. That doesn't belong there. That name belongs with the under the bride message because it's a living word.
Right?
That's my confession, okay? And so, Lord forgive me, but he's got the name. And so if that hadn't have been there, that's what I would have suggested we would have named here because I want this to be the living word church, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not to be like them and copy them, but you understand. So we are what we are, what God wanted us to be. But that was, I'm just saying, he is a living word.
Right.
Living in his people. Brother Bim told him, said, if you walk close to God, the gifts will take care of themselves. He said, come back to God. Get this real divine love in your heart, your fellowship, that, oh, I just love him with all my heart, with all your heart. He said, brother, then the gifts will take care of itself. You just let that alone. See, it'll come. God will place in the church to the place in the church the places that he sees you. See, he'll put the gifts in there the way he wants. After he adopts you into his family, he will call you out someday in a little prayer meeting. And the first thing you know, now keep in mind now, back to what we were saying a while ago, living close to God and keeping yourself refreshed and doing everything you can to stay in his presence, doing everything you can to be a very faithful member of the body of Christ and a faithful member of your local body and praying and keeping yourself refreshed in the presence of God. And if you do that, watch this, okay? If you do that, then he'll call you out someday in a little prayer meeting, and the first thing you know, he'll place that robe on you and say, now, son, I've sent you to preach the gospel. The whole world will know about it. See, when God does it, the whole world can. Why? Because it's not something anybody can take away. It's not a mimic. It's something real. Something God has done. And since the whole world knows about it, that's right. He'll call you out and say, son, I've sent you to pray for the sick people. Just watch the things fly then when he adopts you into his family. But you can't push that. You can't mentally work that up. God vindicates his gift. God proves his gifts. And that's one of the mistakes Pentecost did, and that's the mistake even people in the message do. They try to push into something instead of waiting on God. Because when God manifests it, the whole world's going to know. We say the whole world, but you understand, whole world of that influence. They'll know this was something God has established.
Right.
And we've seen it. We've seen over the years. Somebody pushed himself into something, next thing you know, they're a train wreck. Just watch the things fly then when he adopts you into his family. So Brother Bram is telling us that the new birth, you know, he's telling us the new birth, that's not adoption. You get a new birth, but then you've got character that has to come.
Right.
And he was saying that, and maybe I have the quote or not, but he's saying that Pentecost tried to push themselves out into this adoption without the character. They try to move out into the manifestation of the Son of God, being able to write the check, being able for a supernatural thing to take place, and they didn't have the character because they pushed themselves out into that. And Satan got a hold of it. and began, you know, now it's jumping up and down and like a kid doing all these different things. And some of it, you know, you understand. You got to be careful when you're talking about manifestation of things. Like Brother Rem said, I'd never criticize and say it wasn't of God, okay? But, and so he wouldn't either. But you know, there's a lot of mimics and a lot of it's his flesh. So, so live close and love God, and God will one day adopt them. But in order to do that, they have to have a character. And they tried to push it, as I just said, when God had not approved it. And by doing that, they were expressing a different spirit because God had not placed them yet. So when you start trying to jump out there and exercise something that God truly hasn't deposited into your experience, Satan's got rights to that. Because God hasn't done that yet. And that's the problem. This is where Pentecost failed. A real move of God, but they didn't truly wait on God. They wanted something and they pushed out and became something because God had not placed it yet. And so when God can look down and he can trust our experience in him, then he can gift us. And he will do it as he chooses. When he can see that we will not misuse the gift. As I said last week, quoting a little while ago, Luther and Wesley and Pentecost was not the seed. Christ was in them, but they were just carriers. You know, that's a hard thing to say. But I can say it because I'm repeating the voice of the messenger who said these things. And it's not just to say it, but it's to have a revelation to understand. I see what happened. And I don't want that to happen to me, and I don't want that to happen to anyone else in the message. That's why it's so important to be able to say what he said. So Mary, Luther, Wesley, Pentecost was not the seed, but after Pentecost, after the restoration of the gifts, what comes next? The seed. That's what comes next.
Right.
Mary did. Out of the Pentecostal movement come the message. Okay? It is the seed. And remember, the angels told Brother Branham, said, as John the Baptist forerun the first coming of Christ, your message will forerun the second coming. He will bring a message to us that will correct us, correct Pentecost, correct us, so that once we have that has taken place in our life, then the Lord can quickly come to his temple.
Yeah.
And that's what we're looking at. So as I said a while ago, we've seen that which in part has done. And we should become desperate now. Say, God, we don't want anything less. What you promised, what this prophet told us. We want to be him. Brother Brown comes along and he preaches a token message. Most important message of all the ones he taught was token message. So he says, right? Most, I forget the wording he used. Come right after that, and then the very next message after the token was desperation. Because there's a certain desperation that we should have in our hearts for the things of God. And you realize that this world, in all its Satan's Eden, is designed to take away that desperation.
Right.
But may God, just through all that, push all that back, may be able to, our hearts, to be able to be desperately seek after him. And so when I read there in that scripture where that will I seek after, the perfect word and the humility to wait on God for him to manifest Christ in us. Because once we reach that place, we know that once we reach that place where he's pleased with us, he'll do something in our lives. And I'm not saying that none of us, some people in the message have already come to that place, obviously, right? There are ministries that God works through, okay? But for each one of us, we have to come at a place where God says, I'm sending you now in my name. I've adopted you. Now you're going to go out here and be a blessing to the world, to the body, and so forth. And so That's what we should seek after. The perfect word, which we have, is in here. May not have it in our under our belts. It's not just a memory thing, not just an intellect thing, but the character of it and the humility to wait on God until He'll manifest these things. And if we'll seek Him and walk as close as we can to Him, we won't be able to stop God from identifying Himself with us. If we'll just do the part, you know, like Pentecost, they just wanted the good thing, but they didn't want to pay the price. If we could just take all of everything that God has in His message, get all of that, and belly up to all of those things, and truly walking with Him, then when He's ready to pull the trigger on manifesting in your life a gift or whatever it is, or in our church or in the bride movement, when He comes time for the world, for the bride around the world to manifest whatever portion He's going to do, you won't be able to stop it. Nobody can. Right. And so that's the thing, to seek Him as close as we can, and God, we won't be able to stop His identification. Wouldn't want to. So you may say, well, because I know we've been here a long time, and the message of people will say, well, why are we still here? Well, there might still be some seed that needs to come in. We know that.
Right.
But we're still here also because of character. He's waiting for character, that full character. And I think that if people would be honest and say, well, I know that I'm not there yet, right? Because when we get there, God will take care of it. This thing will take off, right? But we have that. What is the mechanics? The mechanics is not just head knowledge of the message. The mechanic is the character of the message there. And then that character laying there, then God can light that off and nothing will stop it. And so we're still here. What are we doing? What are we doing here? Well, we're being faithful members of the body of Christ. Happy to be the small part that we are. Be in my small part. Do my small part faithfully until God moves again. Amen. And believe Him to move in every service. Not just service, but believe Him to move every day in your life. Amen. Believe Him to show you where somebody you work with has a need that you can go to them and tell them, hey, God showed me you have this need. You know, we see those things. I know Brother Daniel's experienced it. I've experienced it, just different things. You know, somebody at work, a guy come in, he's a Vietnamese, and his daughter had a clogged artery in her neck. And he was telling me about that, and I felt the Lord tell me, he said, hey, tell you, everything's going to be fine. And I did. And sure enough, she went to specials and all that, and they said, no, everything's fine. Now, he's not Muslim, he's a Hindu. Right? I don't care. I don't think he should be Hindu, right? But apparently the Lord didn't care, right? That God could work through that and speak to whoever they are and can bring them in from wherever they are.
Right.
See? Nothing's too hard for God if we just surrender to Him.
Right.
Then get to that place where He can move and then not be afraid to use it. That's a lot of it too. Afraid to. Like the Pentecostal said, well, Brother Graham, you put us on the spot. But is the promise right or not? Did He say this was coming or not?
Right.
And if He said so, then we've got to reach that threshold where we believe and we're going to step out there. And when God speaks to us, we're going to do what He said to do. There's been many times that I didn't do what I felt led to do.
Right.
And I've regretted it sometimes, right? So, you know, you have to deal with it when you feel like God wants you to go talk to someone and you don't do it and you find out 2-3 days later they died. And that happened one time. My wife said, you really think God wanted you? Yeah, I think He wanted me to, because it was on my heart. You know, I just was thinking about this person, you know, and so a lot, and felt I should go try and talk to them or whatever. I didn't, right? Brother Rem talked about that, you know, that not doing something. And we don't want to be that way. We want to be sensitive and obedient so God can use us anytime He wants to. Listen, I really want my right arm to be able to move when I need it to. And I think that God would like to be able, if He would like to say, hey, go do this. He'd like for us to do it.
Right.
But then if we don't, then He's like, oh, my arm's paralyzed. I can't get it to do what I need it to do. Then you understand?
Yeah.
I'm speaking as a man in that, but you understand. I have a couple more quotes to read and then we'll be done. still where I think Pentecost failed. A quote and then a little story that goes behind one of them. Walk close to God, my brethren. Come into the holiest of holies. Come in and live before God till the Holy Spirit, which takes the Holy Spirit, he's talking about adoption, how the Holy Spirit would go back and report to the Father. So it says, come in and live before God until the Holy Spirit, which takes him a message day by day, how you're progressing in the kingdom and how you're treating his children and what all you're doing, till the Father says, I have found grace in him now. I'll bring him over here before the people. He won't have to tell the people. The people will know by what God's doing, by the life he's living, that God has done something. Your testimony sometimes is all right, but your life speaks aloud, and you know your testimony don't do much good. That's right. Your life is what counts. And Brother Ram tells this, and this is a little story here where he had a couple of women come up on the prayer line. They were Pentecostal women. And one and then another. And he said, this woman came up there. How do you do, sister? And he began to try to talk to her, and she began to dance and jump all around. Pentecostal dance. And he's like, you know, ma'am, would you please just stand still for a moment here just so I can talk to you? And she wouldn't. And he thought, well, I'll just go to the next one. So he started trying to talk to the next lady. And he said, she started doing the same thing. And he said, you know, I appreciate that. Miriam danced. I understand. But would you please, you know, let me just. And he could not pray for either one of them two women. He said, one of them, he said, I believe she had cancer. She's probably dead now when he was telling this. So here's Pentecostal, cream of the crop. Look at these women. Man, they're godly, they're dressed right, and they are so full of the Holy Ghost. Look at them dancing the Spirit right there before the prophet. How wonderful. Brother Graham said, I couldn't even pray for them. I remember last week, supreme control. Right? Not fanaticism, not shout, not, but just supreme control. And he's standing there exercising the gift that he shows, the supreme control that the whole church can have if we're truly surrendered to Christ. And here's the easy, and it's an example. He's telling this and why I think Pentecost failed. Because Pentecost chose these things that manifest the wrong things. And so then he says, this other woman came along. And let me see if I got the right place here to read. He said, now that was Pentecostal woman. And he said, and here stood a little woman behind me that belonged to what we would call a formal denominational. Standing back there with a little girl, and she wasn't making a move at all. She wasn't shouting, she wasn't hollering, you see. And she had her prayer card, and she was standing there waiting. And after a while, they give her time for her to come up. The little lady, she came up with a little girl. And she gets up there and he doesn't even say pray. He said, all, you know, gets up there, and the little girl says, looky here, mother. And she begins to raise her legs, and the mother began to cry and wilt down. And she said, Brother Brown, I knew it would happen. I knew it would happen. She said, I believed with all my heart. And I said, what was wrong with the child? And she said she was paralyzed in both legs. Brother Brown said, see, there it was. There you are. See, she came the appropriate way. She came God-fearing, God-believing, walking up there in reverence before God, believing his promise, while a real saintly little woman, just mistaught, come across the platform. So he's talking about the Pentecostal women. He said, I couldn't even pray for her, the other woman. And the woman thought that she was in the spirit. She was in the flesh. So what Brother Ray said, she was in the flesh. But you wouldn't. And he said she was just mistaught. Right? Got to get away from the Pentecostal teaching. When you come to God, you must come soberly, sanely, believing, asking. Then if God heals you, sure, then raise your hands and give him praise. That's right. That little woman walked down there after her daughter was healed. Walked down there, hugged the little girl, and And the Father come rushing. Now this is important. This is the kind of service we want. This is the kind of... And so the Father come running out of the audience like that, and he said, Brother Branham, I've been a sinner for years, and my wife's a Christian. Said, can I find Jesus now? And I said, yes, my brother, just kneel right there. He said, that's right. See, that's the way we want a meeting. Isn't that right? Something that's sane, solid, and is sound. That's the kind of church we want. You'll never be ashamed of that church. If the president was sitting there, you'd be happy to know that the president of the United States was in the presence of Almighty God in your assembly. Wouldn't you do that? Sure. That's the way we want to do. Not grudgingly speaking against one another, but loving one another, even as Christ, as Christ, for God's sake, loved us. And so he's saying, look, you wouldn't have to be ashamed of that kind of church, that kind of service. Now, if it was all fanaticism and all that and things that didn't work, and like Paul was saying, you know, when they come in, that they would say, truly, God is of you, in you of a truth. That if things are done in such a way that the thoughts of the heart are revealed and God's really in it, then you want the whole world. You'd invite the whole world, come to this. Come see God move. Yeah. Right? And you wouldn't care if the president was here. You'd be happy. But if it's something less, something in part, well, you see what I'm saying? God has something for his people.
Right.
And in his coming. It's working right now. But there is a level of maturity that has to come. Amen. Brother Bram tells, I didn't pull the quote up, but I've quoted it many times. He's talking about adoption of son, but he's also referring to her. And he says, he'll set her up here in the high place, and then the rapture will go. And I think from everything that I can see in the message that when the dynamic strikes this word that we've been feeding on, and we move into this position where the entire body of Christ has a manifestation of his presence perfect, that's probably just a few moments before body change. Don't know how long. But that's what it looks like to me, because he will set her up here, his scaffolding, like in adoption, so that everybody can see, and maybe the whole world will see. But you realize, when the whole world, when this bride is raptured, it's done.
Right.
Foolish virgins are going to pay their price. There's no more Gentiles. So God could manifest the whole thing to the world, where the whole world knows this was real, and they're lost. It can happen, right? But I, as I say, I believe that when that fully happens and that manifestation is there, then you can expect your body to change pretty soon thereafter. Amen? And that's what we're longing for. Listen, we don't want to just be trying to serve God just so we can have body change. We want to take others with us.
Amen.
Amen. And so may the Lord bless you. Listen, let the musicians come. Bow our hearts to you. Lord, as we come to the end of this portion of the service, we ask, God, that you would just take the things that have been spoken, Lord, that you would seal it away into the hearts of your children. Lord, that they would think on these things, that they'd find in their own hearts these desires of the things of God. And Lord, that they would understand to seek for the right thing. Something, Lord, that would truly make a difference in their workplace, truly make a difference. Lord, if we go just in something in part, if we can only do what Pentecost has done in the past, then it won't do any difference. But Lord, I believe you've given us a message now that you're calling us to a place where everything we say and do in this world around us can make a difference. But Lord, I know we've got to believe that. We've got to seek you for that. And so I pray, God, that you would just cause each one of us, Lord, just to have the grace of God in our hearts to find and latch hold and seek after these things. And Lord, that you'd manifest your word through us. We love you, Lord. We look around and we see this world just any moment now. It just feels like, Lord, we could just be taken away and this world go into the chaos that's coming. We just pray, God, that you just keep us like soldiers marching, God. We're Christian soldiers, as your prophets are. ask you in Jesus' name. Amen.